From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, What is Painful Will End. The text is Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 16. I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. Our Heavenly Father seeks our instruction, not our destruction. His contention with us has a kind intention toward us. He will not be always in arms against us. We think the Lord is long in His chastisements, but that's because we are short in our patience. His compassion endureth forever, but not His contention. The night may drag its weary length along, but it must in the end give place to cheerful day. As contention is only for a season, so the wrath which leads to it is only for a small moment. The Lord loves His chosen too well to be always angry with them. If He were to deal with us always as He does sometimes, we should faint outright and go down hopelessly to the gates of death. Courage, dear heart. The Lord will soon end His chiding. Bear up, for the Lord will bear you up and bear you through. He who made you knows how frail you are and how little you can bear. He will handle tenderly that which He has fashioned so delicately. Therefore, be not afraid because of the painful present, for it hastens to a happy future. He that smote you will heal you. His little wrath shall be followed by great mercies.
For mercy so great,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. As he proceeds with these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Assurance of Grace Here and of Glory Hereafter. The text is found in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, where Paul sets forth the glorious results of justification by faith. According to verse 1, the first consequence of justification is peace with God. Verse 2 speaks of the access Christ has given us into the grace of God. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, Christ not only introduces us into the presence of God, but he also maintains that secure standing. This gives believers great liberty in witnessing to the unsaved. In addition, the perfection of Christ's work gives believers perfect peace with God. Paul goes on to speak of rejoicing in hope of the glory of God, a reference to the great confidence believers have of entering heaven because of Christ's work. Now, to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
Our standing with God lies not in anything that we have done, forgive the mixed metaphor, standing lying, but it does not consist in anything that we have done, but in what Christ has done. And here's the thing, in what God the Father has done as a consequence of what Christ has done. Follow me carefully. Christ has done something, and as a consequence of what he did, God the Father has acted. And we have already been over this ground. The word justification that we have been considering, the end of Romans 5, is the decisive act of God in declaring us righteous because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Romans 8. Who shall lay anything, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So our standing is assured and secure because it rests on the merits and mediation of Christ. It's assured and secure because in justifying us, Christ gives us peace with God. And then let me make this point, and it's a very important one as we come toward the end of the passage. Believers have a secure standing because their justification carries in it a certain hope of the glory of God. Notice this carefully. Second part of verse 2. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, in looking at these verses, there are two things we need to do. First, we need to define the terms that are used, and then we need to put them all together and see how they apply to our general argument. First of all, the terms. Look at the word rejoice. We rejoice. That's the same verb that's translated in verse 3 as glory. We glory. It's the same verb that's translated in chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 23 as boast. Make our boast. This particular verb literally means to talk of oneself, therefore to praise oneself. That's the meaning, to boast. But just as in English, so in Greek, it also carried the meaning of congratulating oneself. Speaking of oneself as blessed or as glorious. And then it approaches the meaning that really gets to the heart of our text. It means to glory in anything that we recognize as the source or the ground of our confidence, our honor, or our blessedness. Now we're getting someplace. This verb, to rejoice, it's not just to sound happy. Oh, it is that, but it's a whole lot more. It's a very substantial verb. It's saying we're glorying in something because we recognize that something to be the source and the ground of the honor and the blessedness and the confidence that we enjoy. Paul is saying, we exult. I think that's as near a full translation as you can get of it. Some like to use the word triumph here. And there is the idea of triumph. But it's more joy than victory. It's we exult in the merits of Christ. Is that true of you? This is what the psalmist said in one of my favorite psalms. I've used hundreds of times in hospital visitation down through the years. Psalm 34, my soul shall make her boast. Where? In the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. This is what he's saying here. We exult in the merits of Christ. We exult in the mediation of Christ. We express our joy in the secure standing into which Christ has introduced us, with all that that means for our present and our everlasting happiness. That's the word rejoice. Now for the word hope. We rejoice in hope. For some reason or other nowadays, hope is a very vague word. It's a very uncertain word. Hope to us is trying to feel good about a situation that really is a lot that tells you you don't have much reason to feel good at all. We're hoping, but we really don't see our way ahead. We're hoping that something might be. But that's not the New Testament meaning of the word hope. Hope is one of Paul's favorite words. Of the 53 times that it occurs in the New Testament, he accounts for 36 of them, and 13 of those in the book of Romans alone. In addition, the verb to hope appears 31 times, and of those 31 times, Paul uses it all by himself 19 times. This is one of his favorite terms. Why? Because hope in the New Testament is not something vague or uncertain. Hope, while it deals with the future, which is unseen, therefore yet unexperienced, hope deals with certainty. And hope, therefore, has the idea of confidence. A modern German commentator put it as well as anybody when he said, it is not, and I quote, the prospect of what might happen, but the prospect of what is already guaranteed. That's the New Testament meaning of hope. It is the confident prospect of what God has guaranteed. As I said, it has to do with the future. But, however, despite that, it gathers its sense of security and assurance not mainly by looking at the future. Oh, it looks at the future and it rejoices, but it gets its security looking backward to Calvary and upward to the throne. That's hope. And then the glory of God. Remember we saw in Romans 3:23 in studying that the glory of God may mean God's approbation or praise. It means conformity to God's holiness. It speaks of eternal glory, what we generally refer to as heaven, in the presence of God. It speaks of eternal life in all its sinless fullness in the immediate presence of our all-glorious King. That's the glory of God. But we are told we come short of the glory of God. We cannot earn God's praise. We have in the fall lost conformity to His holiness. We cannot attain the glorious beatific vision of God in His heavenly kingdom. We cannot attain to it. We come short of the glory of God. And yet the Lord Jesus prayed, John 17:24, for His people. And He said, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. We come short of it. But Jesus prayed that we may experience it. by indwelling us, he guarantees that we will experience it. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. As we live on earth, we are not sinless. I would to God we were, but man, we're not sinless. But I will say this, what's happening to us if we're saved? 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed into his image from glory unto glory. There is a sanctifying, transforming work going on, but we're not sinless. So therefore that sanctifying work cannot in itself be the assurance of eternal security. For thank God, though we're not sinless, we're justified. And therefore we have the guarantee of glory. As Paul says, Romans 8:18, he speaks of the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now those are the terms. Now let's put them all together. See how this assures believers of their absolute security in Christ. We make this point. The hope of believers is a well-grounded personal assurance of acceptance with God and of final entrance into glory. That's the hope of believers. I want you to follow me carefully here because I'm going to say something that may shock you and it may not. But I want you at least to understand what I'm saying. This is not a mere assent to doctrinal truth. Oh, we do assent to the doctrinal truth of justification by faith. We do assent to the truth of the glory of God that believers finally enter into. But Paul says we rejoice. We boast in hope of the glory of God. And that word boast is an expression of something we personally feel. Now, you have heard it said again and again by well-meaning preachers, and there's a time, I suppose, when it should be said. As long as it's not carried too far. But you've heard it said again and again, addressing people who are having struggles with assurance. And they say, I don't feel anything, I don't feel forgiven, I don't feel right with God, I don't feel justified, I don't feel. And preachers, and maybe you yourself would tell them, forget about your feelings. Now listen to me, that is absolute abject nonsense. Furthermore, it's just about impossible. Forget about your feelings. What we ought to be doing is to examine the ground of those feelings. Let's get back to the basis of our feelings. And if, as is the case here in Romans 5, our rejoicing and our boasting and our expression of confidence is in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is a well-grounded confidence. When I look at myself, I want to tell you, I have no ground to boast, and neither have you. This is the trouble when people are saying, I don't feel, I don't feel, I don't feel. They're not getting their eyes on Christ. They're not seeing the all-sufficiency of Christ. They're not grasping that he has done enough. They're not grasping the effectiveness of his work and the truthfulness of his promise. They're not grasping that. When they take their stand on Christ, then they've got a good basis for boasting. God forbid that I should glory or boast save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But equally, God forbid that I should refrain from boasting in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that's something to glory in. That's something to boast about, what Christ has done.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.